is from a very, very familiar passage. And if you're not really careful, you'll just go, "Up, got it," and you'll go home, and let me tell you what I mean. How many are reading the E100? All right, yeah, guys still at it? Good, keeping at it. I challenged Bethel, our New Jersey church. I said, "Hey, who wants to try and do the New Testament 50 readings in 60 days? And some of them are trying to do it. You can do it too. But, you know, I'm kind of leading the charge on this. So I don't know what you know about leadership, but if you're leading, it's pretty much a good idea if you're actually doing the program and you're championing it. So I'm like, I better start getting to it. And I got to like day 57, and I'm like, oh, the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's like the core of Jesus' teaching. Oh, this is good stuff. Well, it is. It's about his kingdom. And it's about who belongs to his kingdom. It starts off in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. You know it. Blessed are the, what? You can look on behind me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who qualifies? Y'all qualify. If you don't think you qualify, you don't realize. You got nothing to offer. And I say you, if I ever say you here, there's three fingers pointing back. Because in this stage of life and ministry for me, after 35 years or so, if I'm preaching, it's preaching to Jim. And you get to hear what God is doing in Jim, all right? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 5. Because I think if we look at this, it'll help us. The poor in spirit are the ones that know they have zero, nothing to offer. And Paul sums this up in Romans chapter 5. While we were still what? Weak. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Sometimes you'll see that in a war movie. Somebody diving on a grenade. All right? They're saving their buddies. But this is not talking about that. This is talking about, oh no, the grenade is going to kill the enemies. You've never seen a movie with that, where the guy jumps over and saves the Nazis or whatever, right? You don't see that. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, and justified means that we are pardoned, declared not guilty, not by the president, but by God Almighty, who sees everything. It doesn't let anything slide. Much more shall we be saved from him, saved by him from the wrath of God. Look at verse 10. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. How much more, now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Look at this verse. Let this one sink in. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now, if you're not an accountant, you probably wonder, what does reconciliation mean? Right? That's when you make sure all the books match up, right? Well, I'm going to date myself a little bit. But every time I think about this, you know, remember the song? Can I take you back to 1978? Right? Disco ball going. I'm sure this church didn't have one. Right? Right? It was probably in Italian. It says, the song reunited. I was a fool to ever leave your side. Me minus you is a lonely ride. The breakup we had made me lonely and sad. And now, sing it together. Reunited, and it feels so good. reunited because we understood there's one perfect fit, and sugar, this one is it. We both are so excited because we're reunited. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, that's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. The old is gone, the new is come. Now, it would be really, really easy, now that we've sung, we've gone back to the 70s, we've got the warm and fuzzies, middle of summer, might hear the ice cream truck coming, and then we'll go home, and we'll forget everything we heard, and we'll start our week, and then people will come in contact with, and we'll forget that we're reunited. Hey, hey, hey. We could easily say, who are we going to live for? Sunday school answer, Jesus. Who are we going to trust? Jesus. What are we going to do? Read the Bible. Yeah, we belong to the Father, but we can forget. See, I had a problem reading this, right? The theology is sound. It's a great read. But this is my problem. Listen to what, and by the way, the Sermon on the Mount, I mean, most people like choose Matthew, right, when they're preaching stuff. I've gone through verse by verse in the Sermon on the Mount like two or three times. I'm talking like months in this. But I read this and I had a problem with it. A big problem. Here's the summary. Jesus concluded the Sermon on the Mount with straight talk. Forgive or else. That's his opinion, right? I mean, it doesn't say, forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive those. For if we don't forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father won't. Is that in the Bible, Mark? It's in there. It's in 5, isn't it? Oh, or 6, I guess. Forgive or else. Can we skip the next one? Don't judge others. Do you watch TV? You ever watch the news? Yeah, CNN's constant negative news. There's other networks like that. You just look and you go, that politician, right? Watch out for false prophets. And it just goes on and on. And so I'm looking at this, and so what is my problem with it? I know what it says. My problem is having been through life and having lived and worked and interacted with people, they're out there, and they're in here too, by the way. There's one right here. I sit there and I go, I don't want to forgive. There's a problem here. I'm reading this and I'm like, ruh-roh. And then, of course, then Pastor Joe goes, hey, you want to preach? By the way, he's looking forward to coming back. I think he's had a nice vacation. But he texted me last night. But he's looking forward to coming back and seeing you all. He misses you. But I look at this and I go, all right, so I'm going to preach. And all right, Lord, looks like you got your finger on this in my life. I need to forgive people. And then Jacob, where is he? He's Mr. Way the Master. There he is. What do you say on the street? You ever been angry? If you are angry, yeah, it's the same as murdering someone. So I'm sitting there going, yeah, ooh, I got this anger in there. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you, if you had any delusions of me on a pedestal, we're all the same, brothers and sisters. But I'm sitting there going, all right, so I don't really want to forgive. And I've got this anger that comes up that I'm aware. And here's the problem. I kind of, if I'm honest, I kind of like it. I kind of sit there and I feel like the more I hold on to it, if I let it go, I'm losing something. And you are, indeed. So, you see, we could have just ended, and we could have gone and got ice cream. And we could have just sang Jesus Loves Me and all that. And that's a great song. But God is after our hearts. And God doesn't want us to be, what do you call them, Mark, bitter backsliders? He doesn't want that. Because if we're carrying unforgiveness and anger in our souls, it's a cancer. It's poison. Take it from one who knows. And I'm telling you, like, sometimes forgiveness, you got to do it in installments. You know how, like, you get a car, now I think you can finance them up to 7 years. I don't know how many months that is. It's, what, 78 or so, 72 or something? Or, you know, 84? Yeah, every month you got to go, okay, Lord, not carrying this poison. I'm forgiving again. Sometimes we have to do that. Well, let's look into the text, and if we listen very carefully, I don't want us to just look at what the text says. I want us to see how do we actually live this out. Because if we live out Matthew 5:44, which is the end of chapter 5 and the key verse here, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons, and it includes daughters, sons and daughters of your Father who's in heaven. See, you can know a lot of stuff, and that knowledge isn't bad. It's a good thing. It can puff up if you're not careful. But what really counts is that you know the Father, that you start to act like Him, that you're so dependent upon Him that when those people out there or those people in here or this person in here starts to rear its ugly head, you're empowered and equipped so that you're able to represent your Father well. So if you have your outline, you could look at that. Some people like that. That's helpful. I always say if you want to share it, if it's helpful, great. If not, you can file it in the garbage. So the first thing is, sons and daughters, love our enemies. We love our enemies. Now, is that common around people you know? Oh, I just love my enemies. Hey, Vladimir, how you doing, buddy? Right? Or that person that just is out to get you at work. That family member, that ex-friend, that neighbor. Next door to my house, I have a great opportunity. This guy has these ginormous speakers. Ginormous. And he likes fireworks. And my dogs don't. And so all of a sudden I hear dum-ta-da-dum-ta-da-dum-ta-da-dum-ta-da. And I think he's like on third shift, right? So he wakes up maybe at 11 o'clock and doot outside, right? So, right? You have heard it said, Matthew 5:43. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. Now, what's going on here is Jesus is not saying it is written. So the first part of that, love your neighbor, is what, Leviticus 19, and it's that's scriptural. But hate your enemies isn't. So where does that come from? It comes from here. The people in the day are saying, well, we love our enemies, Leviticus 19, yeah. And we love our neighbors, and we hate our enemies. You know, okay, that seems good, but that's not what the Bible says, and that's not what Jesus says. So loving our enemies, what exactly does it mean? It doesn't mean we have the warm and fuzzy feeling for them. It doesn't mean we just look at them and we're so happy to see them. It means way more than that. It means we look, when we see our enemies, we pray for them and we say, Lord, well, there's a bumper sticker I'd like to get for my car. I hope something good happens to you today. Isn't that a cool bumper sticker? That's how we approach our enemies. We refuse to take revenge. Isn't that difficult? You know, when your neighbor's setting off fireworks odd hours of the day, right? Praying for them. And when praying for them, you're not praying, may the fleas of a thousand camels infest your armpit. We're not playing these things. We're praying, Lord, get them, redeem them. I was like them. We forgive personal offenses. We treat them with dignity. You know, when they come, you don't roll your eyes and look the other way, right? It's the ultimate example of what it is to know the Father. So if we look at Matthew 5 through 7, it's the Sermon on the Mount, it's the core. It's this simple teaching, very simple, but not easy. So how do we do it? Well, we grow in dependence on our Father. When we're feeling it come up within us, we go, oh, Lord, help me to remember that when I was your enemy, you died for me. Help me to remember that. Why is all of this so difficult? One word, people. They're the people that are out there, and the problem is we don't want to forgive them. We don't want to depend on God. So who are the people? All right, two categories of people. If you look on your outline, we're going to look at Matthew 5, 21, 22. The first people that we see that Jesus is talking about is our brothers. The word brother occurs three times in Matthew 5, 21 through 22. You have heard it said in the days of old, you shall not murder. You shouldn't murder, right? Whoever murders is liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother, do you see the word brother, will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. As the passage goes on, brother comes again. So it's not talking about the people that are out there. It's talking to the people that are in here. You look at someone, and anybody in the critical club, I can be really critical. And I sit there and I go, oh my goodness, why, fault finding, right? Well, no, don't do that. Why? Because we're not really that much different than them. It's kind of like if we say, well, you know, that person lives in an apartment that has 900 square feet. You might live in one that has 1,000. But from God's perspective, we're all very similar. So we're to love them and not judge them. So when we get God as our Father, we're so happy about that. My Father in heaven, he's perfect. You know what comes with the Father? The family. When you get the Father, you get the family. And who doesn't want the Father? But the people that are in the family are the ones that are close to us. They're the ones in close proximity. They're the ones we run into. They're the ones that come to events. They're the ones that we see on Sundays. The enemy of our soul wants to divide us. He wants to conquer. He doesn't want us to forgive. He certainly doesn't want us to love each other. I mean, really love each other, right? To say, you know what? I'm not gonna judge that person. I'm not gonna harbor that. We can choose our friends, we can choose our spouse, but we can't choose our family. The problem is they're different from us. And so what is Jesus talking about here? Our anger progresses. First, it starts with insults. Doesn't it? Calling them literally empty-headed. Oh, here comes brainless, I'm not going to mention a name because I'll hit someone maybe. Here comes brainless Melvin, right? Here comes brainless Melvin. You know, maybe you're joking, but there's an edge to it. Why are you calling something that God made brainless? Something that's created in the image of God. It's because in a subtle way, we've lost focus. We're not depending on the Father, and we're saying, well, they're brainless, but not me, right? you ever heard someone say, well, that person's an idiot. Oh, you're going further down the path now. You're going further down the path. Now, brainless, empty-headed, then it leads to fool. You know what a fool is? It's you're saying, that person is worthless. Did we forget that while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us? We forget that. If that person is worthless, then God must be pretty stupid for dying for him or her. No, they're not worthless. They're of infinite value. So what do we do with our brothers and sisters that get under our skin? We bring them before the Lord. We pray for them. And then what we do is we make sure that we are depending on him and we're not sporting a tude. Sporting an attitude, you ever have that? You've probably heard that there's two different words in Greek for anger. One is thumos, that's like a thermos, like boom, heat miser, boom, right? That's what thermos is. It's like someone who just explodes. This is not talking about, this is talking about nursing a grudge and just feeding it. Oh, here they come, right? That's what that is. And I am telling you that you can look online and you see their profile, you see a story, you hear about them, and it's like, okay, here we go again. Here we go. I'm not going to nurture that. I'm not going to go there. That's what that kind of anger is. What it does is it destroys our relationship with them, but it hinders our relationship with God. We're talking about miracles, and Mark was talking about that last week, so appreciate that. This is a miracle. People that have virtually nothing in common, not only being civil to each other, but actually wanting to have brothers and sisters, not only as those people over there, but as friends. You can choose your friends, but your family, this is your family. How do I get to know these people? How do I love those people? I'll tell you, there's a lady that I know from a group that I'm in, a networking group, and there's this thing, it's business networking, right? And so every Thursday morning we have breakfast at Ponzio's Diner. It's really fun. There's like 50 people or so. And so the way it goes is the first week when you're on the schedule is you present your stuff. So if you're a roofer, there's all your stuff there. If you're a, I don't know, dentist or something like that, I don't know. And then you present your stuff. The next week you're a greeter. The following week you get 6 minutes to present. Well, there was a computer mess up. So me and Sherry were both doing it's called showboating. We're both doing the table. So I had my stuff there. And I put it on top of her stuff. Yeah, she wasn't a happy camper, right? And now, I want to tell you, I know her mother, I know her daughter, I know her grandkids. She is a good woman. I've mentioned her by name, right? You know what she did? She needed to talk about an insurance for her husband. And so we had a meeting, and we're sitting there having breakfast, and she said, hey, Jim, I got to ask you something. This is like months ago. She is doing Matthew 5. You know, our relationship hasn't been the same since that happened. What a rock star. And I said, no, Sherry, I think it's okay. I really did think it was okay. That's not always the case with me. I'm frail. But I will tell you, she brought it up. Hey, just in case there's something between us, let's make sure there's not. So I don't think there was, but I'll tell you something. Our relationship is even better than ever before. And she's a sister. How cool is that? What would the Christians in Philadelphia, the church, large church, our fellowship, and all the other fellowships, what if they all got along like that? Oh, we don't let any weeds grow between us. No poison ivy. Uh-uh. Well, okay, so that's the people in the body. Jesus goes on to talk about the people outside. Look at Matthew 5, 38 through 42. Oh, I forgot to mention the rest. If you don't deal with this, 23, sorry. If you're offering your gift to the author and they'll remember your brother has something against you, they have something against you. That's what Sherry did, thinking maybe I have something against her. Leave your gift at the altar. Go first and be reconciled. Offer your gift. Come quickly to terms with your accuser. Otherwise, they're going to take you to court. Ha! Deal with it. We don't need lawsuits. We don't need that. And churches are full of that. All right, that's the first one, brothers and sisters. Second, slappers and swipers. Slappers and swipers. These are probably people on the outside. Listen, verse 38. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. Now that is not saying lay down and be foolish. That's not what that's saying. That's just saying, you know, you don't need to always lawyer up and, you know, have an arsenal. Right? That's not what that's saying. You can, I don't want to go down a bad rabbit hole, right? But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. Now, it's not talking about having your teeth knocked out. You know what this is talking about? If someone insults you. How important is it? Hey, you're disrespecting me. You ever heard that? Hey, you're looking at me with scorn. What do? Well, we get our back up and we want to say, hey, you don't talk to me like that, right? Well, why? It's because we want to be thought well of. Because we care so much about what they think of us and what others think about us. Now, having a good name is a good thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. What I'm saying is if our identity is primarily in what other people think of us, and I'm a people pleaser, all right? Confession time, right? Well, if anyone would sue you to take your tunic, so that's the swiper. The slapper is the one we got to forgive if they're slapping us on the cheek. What if someone takes our stuff? If anyone would sue you to take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. And that means like taking the day off and you're not salaried, right? Because I got to carry someone's stuff. Give to the one who begs you and do not refuse the one who would borrow you. Now, Jesus is using what's called hyperbole. So he's saying like if someone wants your tunic, he's not speaking literally here. He's speaking literally about not valuing your stuff over the fact that your Father in heaven provides for you. But if you give up your tunic, you're not wearing anything. That's okay. So that's not what he's saying, but he's making the point. If we are sons and daughters of the Father, our trust has to be on his provision, not in our own reputation by what people think, and not on how are we going to make sure that somebody doesn't swipe our stuff. Again, lock your doors, lock your car. That's not what this is talking about. But don't be so connected to your stuff that if someone steals something minor, you lose your joy. Because your Heavenly Father always, always provides for us. There's one more in there. I mentioned forgiveness. I need a volunteer. Come on, Anthony. I did this. Jennifer and I went to Africa 16 years ago. Isn't that crazy? So imagine Anthony, you got to stand like right there. Imagine I have unforgiveness towards Anthony, right? He keeps on smacking me and calling me bald-headed Jim, right? All right? All right? So imagine that. And he just always does it. Maybe it's something worse, and I have unforgiveness. Maybe it's something really serious, right? You can't get to him, and he's like really hurt you in some way. And I know that there's people here. You know what it's like? It's like I'm a dog, and he's holding this, and I'm like going back and forth, wearing a little trench in the ground. I'm wearing a trench, and I just can't get free. But here's what the Lord wants us to see. Is this tied around my neck? Is it tied around my waist? You know what the Father says for us to do, friends? He's not even aware that I'm free. He's just doing his life. Most people are not out to get you. They're too busy out to be for themselves. But the Father is saying, let your brother, thank you. Thank you, Anthony. let your brother go. Let the person who's persecuting you go. Be free. And I'll never forget, it was in a French-speaking part of Africa, in Cote d'Ivoire. And you know what they said? They were translating it. And I said, and so that's freedom. And the translator goes, liberty. 250 years, baby, it works. Liberty, freedom. As sons and daughters of the Father, we let go of the unforgiveness. I am not saying this is easy. I am telling you, I was confessing to Pastor, now I'm telling it to the whole world. I was confessing to Pastor Joe last night, you know, the Lord's been hammering me on this. I don't want to forgive people. No, I'm done. It takes him 2 weeks to agonize. No, I don't want the poison. You know, it's subtle. You don't even realize it's there, but it's holding you back. That's how we do that. The key verse of the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm wrapping up, Matthew 6:8, don't be like them, the pagans who think they're going to be heard for many words. Listen to this, please, brothers and sisters. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask. Before you even ask. But we can't see Him. And it's so hard for us to wean away from the things that are seen. What do we worry about? What about food? Well, Matthew 6:26 says He feeds the birds. I love Rich Mullins. If you look on the back of the sheet, there's a song there. And he says, it's hard to be a Christian, hard to turn the other cheek, hard to bless those who curse you. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be a man of peace. Lord, it's hard, so hard. It's hard to step out of the waves and walk beyond your vision. And it goes on like that. How hard it is. It's simple, but it's hard. And then he says a line here that I just love. Well, His eye is on the sparrow and the lilies of the field, I've heard. He will watch over you and He will watch over me so we can dress like flowers and eat like birds. It makes the point. Our Heavenly Father provides for us. So how do we do this? We pray for them. We pray for them and we say, Lord, if it were Anthony, Lord, I just give him to you. You deal with them. Or this other person, I give him to you and I trust you and I'm not going there. Pray for them to have softened hearts. And God invites, inviting God into the equation, and He works on us too. Verse 45, manifest your sonship and daughtership. Continually to remind yourself of your true identity as sons and daughters. Stay in the Word and have a long-term perspective. How do you have a long-term perspective? Gloria just did it. You know, grandmother was praying for us before any of us were born again. I don't know how many years ago that was. I know Pastor Joe's been here for like 35 years or so. So that was before that. We're probably talking back 40 years, maybe more, 50. Have a long-term perspective. When has the Lord ever really let you down? And not like we think. Like sometimes, He's let me down before and I think, well, Lord, that didn't work out like I thought. And sometimes we can't see it, so we have to keep on walking. And then sometimes we look back and we go, oh my gosh, like my old church was one battle after another. Every other month it was something major. And, you know, been here like 4.5, almost 5 years, no drama. Except for the Jesus thing we had, right? That's okay. But I mean, praise God, right? But I couldn't see it. We look back on God's faithfulness and we look forward because of His faithfulness that there's hope. That when we're facing stuff, He's not going to not come through for us. He is going to come through for us. Do we have to have complete faultless holiness? Thank God, no. Should we be holy? Should we confess our sins? Mark, should we confess our sins? Yes. 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 But when we confess our sins, we're acknowledging, wow, I'm a failure at this, and I need you to make me your son so I'm like you, or your daughter so I'm like you. So last week was the legal clinic, or 2 weeks ago, and there's a guy there who's a believer. And we were dealing with whatever legal problem he had, but he told me a story, and I sat there, and I went, wow, that's crazy. He was a band member, and the leader of the band was stealing money, from the band. And they were a pretty successful band, apparently. And so when someone has wronged you, you said, you know, I'm from here, and, you know, I know someone who looks like this. And his nose is bent. And I went, oh, I know what you mean. You're talking about, I know who to call to take care of this. And he said, oh, I had such resentment. And other band members had resentment. But he'd become a Christian. So you know what he finally did? He forgave him. And this is what he said. This is 2 weeks ago, right across the street. He said, you know, I got to tell you, it was like all of the unforgiveness and bitterness just drained from me. And then he got some of his money back after that too. But he didn't care so much about the rest of it. And I'm not saying there isn't a place, if you've been wrong, to get justice. We wouldn't have the legal clinic meeting here. But what I'm saying is, as sons and daughters of the King, what this means is we're primarily concerned with how the Father loves us and how he's forgiven us and how he provides our every need. And therefore, we don't have to worry. We don't have to hold on to unforgiveness. And we don't have to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to dress. He takes care of everything. And this is just here. The best is yet to come. So, dear brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to savor the fact that you have a Heavenly Father that loves you. It's the love of God that leads us to repentance. You might pray the prayer, repent of your sins, but you're not going to enjoy the Father. You're not going to really trust him until you see that he is consistently faithful in every area of your life. He can't not be faithful. Father, thank you that you dress the flowers and you feed the birds so we don't have to run around like a bitter, worried bird. We don't have to worry about where stuff is coming from. Instead, we turn to you and we trust you. So, Lord, I pray that this week as we go through and we have some catalysts come against us, those in our family, those at work, those in the neighborhood, those in school, Lord, I pray that when we get bumped or jostled or slapped or swiped from, I pray that we go, ha, it's all right. My dad's bigger than that. So, Lord, I give it to you. I let go. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.